custody of our human emotions. Because right now, I'm sure the feelings that you're having are serenity, a little bit of peace, a little bit of just, the calm. It is beautiful. But there are a lot of stormy emotions that we all feel from time to time. And that's what I want to get into and kind of the complications that come with just flat out being human. And I'll admit the church really has failed in that endeavor in different settings. And so hopefully we can kind of look at just the complexities of who we are to be human. I'll start kind of with a story of how I got into started to really wrestle with this concept in general. About 6 or 7 years ago, I was putting my kids to bed, and my youngest son, my oldest, but he was young at the time, so I put my hand on his chest and I said, "Silas, are you doing okay? Is everything all right with your heart?" I mean, I just kind of felt like he just didn't seem like himself. And as I put my hand on his chest, he said, "What do you mean?" I mean, he didn't have a clue what I was talking about. And I just said, are you mad at anybody?" And I didn't know. I honestly didn't have a clue what was going on with him. But I said, "Is there somebody you need to forgive? Is there something just going on?" And he said, "Well, yeah, Brady." He was talking about the next door neighbor kid. Apparently, earlier that day, a story I hadn't known, they were playing. It was a summertime day, and they had an inflatable pool, and it was one of those little higher ones. And my son didn't have a lot of coordination, and he kept jumping, and he would kind of hit the edge, and that would just kind of implode down in. The water kept coming out, and Brady and the other boy and a couple others just were laughing at him and just kind of mocking him and putting him down. And he was feeling emotions that he wasn't aware of. And so I said, "Well, are you going to forgive him?" And he said, "No, I'm not going to." And it dawned on me, I'm a terrible dad. I have not coached him well. And I felt all this frustration. And I said, "Well, can you tell me more? Why aren't you going to forgive him?" And he said, "Well, I don't have to." And I said, "Well, tell me more." And he said, "Well, here's what I'm praying to God tonight. That pool will collapse, and all that water will flood into the house, and it'll collapse their basement, and they will have to move." No kidding, that's exactly what he said. And I thought, that is sick. That is wrong. But then I started feeling conviction. That's me. I do that all the time. Now, it's never sadistic, and it doesn't want to bring harm on others, and I don't think he wanted to bring harm, but I really believe what he wanted to do is what a lot of us do. He wanted to run from his emotions. He didn't like the feelings that he was having, and he didn't want to deal with them. And so he just kind of ran. And I want to take you into a story in Scripture that I'm willing to bet you've never looked at through the eyes of emotions. Before we go further, I want to give you kind of a perspective on what emotions are. Emotions are a noun that actually want to live as a verb. You know, if I were to say, "Hey, what are emotions?" And you could say fear and anger. You know, those are just nouns. They're a person, place, thing, or idea. They just exist, right? That's what emotions are. But they actually live out their life as a verb. And until you get that concept, you'll never understand the emotions and your complexities of your humanity. And another way to do it, I taught this at my church a while ago and have had a lot of just people have kind of their eyes opened. A good way to spell emotions is to put a hyphen after the E. Emotions, E, like email, or you think, you know, electronic kind of stuff, but you think of just the E dash. Motions. Your emotions want to have motion. They want to move. They have to move. And if they don't move, you're going to have some problems. And that's when I end up as a pastor, deal with a lot of junk in people's drunks of life and how things don't go the way they want. And to describe this way, psychologists say there's 5 different emotions that people feel. There's, well, one of them is anger. Anger has the motion, right? What does anger want to do? It motions toward fight. When you have anger, you want to punch something or somebody. There's that motion inside of you that wants to fight. Fear has motion to flight. It wants to get away. When I have fear, I want to get away. Sadness has motion to want to grieve. It makes sense. When you have grief inside of you, it has to move somewhere. But if you bury it, it'll start to mess with you. I'll explain that as we go. Happiness motions toward dancing or happiness or laughter or singing like we just did. Happiness, sitting on a beach. That's why we wanted to sing, as we were just, Melody was saying, isn't it just great to be able to worship and sing to the Lord? Yeah, because we have great feelings of God's goodness right now. And so that motion in that way. Compassion is the fifth type of emotion that are kind of the basics. Now, there are many others, but these are the core. And those really have motion toward wanting you to care. When you have compassion towards somebody, it moves you to want to deal with it. I used to do jail ministry down in Grand Haven, and there was a man who said a phrase that was really, in some ways, too complex for me to understand at the time. This was like 22 years ago, and he said, When I had so much anger inside of me, as I was asking him, why are you in prison? And he said, I buried my anger. I didn't let it have motion. He didn't say it that way. But I buried my anger until one day it came out and it buried me. Doesn't that just, I mean, that's a profound statement. And I've seen it in so many different people's lives, as they just don't deal with the feelings that they have inside of them. And so it kind of really builds to all sorts of frustration. So I want to spend just a couple of minutes here going into a story of a person who didn't allow his emotions to have motion. And it's King David. This is before he became king. And this is, you know, the same David who was a man after God's own heart, who had lots of failings and falterings. We want to talk about a part in his life when he had some heavy failings. Now, to move our way through it, I want to give you just kind of my concept, my take home. Anytime I teach, I like to say, what is the take home? What's the big idea? I want to give it to you up front, and then I want to kind of prove it as we go. Maybe I've been hanging around with Kurt too long. That lawyer inside of me wants to prove my case right now. And it's this. When you have emotion, I want to start to challenge you to name it or label it. Identify what is that I'm feeling inside of me right now. And then to say it to somebody else, to talk about it, to get it out, to allow it to have motion. Because if you bury it, eventually somebody will say, why are you so grumpy all the time? Well, you say, I don't have a clue. Well, it's because you've been burying the emotion. And now it's finally causing those feelings to come together and create an insurrection. And they're rising up and coming out of you. I see it in people all of the time. And so I want to challenge us to think that through, especially while we have this calm environment. This is a good time to talk about emotions. This really feels good. So let's go into David's story. We're going to go into before he becomes king. And this is a fascinating story because he has his king, King Saul, the first king of Israel, who has lots of emotions inside of him. Remember what his emotions were? Lots of jealousy. David was this up-and-coming stud. Everybody loved him. They're singing songs, David can kill 10,000 and only Saul can kill thousands. And everybody's like, so great about David. He's so wonderful. What a great warrior. And so Saul is starting to feel these emotions. On two occasions, Saul throws a spear at David's head. I mean, you want to talk about crazy emotions inside of you. If you've ever had somebody throw a spear at your head, it happens to me quite often, but you get that feeling of, whoa, my goodness. So David gets all of these emotions as well. And listen to what it says. It says in 1 Samuel 27, verse 1, David said in his heart, okay, the emotions are inside of him, I am going to eventually die by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than to escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will stop looking for me. So, of course, he comes up with a good plan. It's a great plan. When you have fear, the motion is to have flight. But when that emotion is still inside of you, and it's good, you have motion, you run away. If you have fear, you should. There are times to run away from it. There are other times to fight the fear and to deal with it. But in David's case, it was a very good idea. Saul wasn't dealing with it very well, but he obviously didn't label it. He obviously didn't say anything out loud like, I'm feeling jealousy at you, so here's a spear, and that's what this represents. He didn't do that, you know. But he definitely had some motion and stuff comes out of him, but he didn't deal with it in an appropriate way. So Saul goes on the hunt after David. David goes running, and here's what's fascinating. He runs into the hands of his enemy for the next 16 months. For 1 year and 4 months, David is hiding in his enemy's arms. And here's what's fascinating. We don't see any evidence of him praying. We don't see any evidence of him, and the scholars say he didn't write one psalm during this 16-month period. David wasn't dealing with his emotions. And I want to show you, this is one of the darker seasons of his life. And so if you come into a point in your life where you feel darkness, where you wonder, why does my life feel like it's out of sorts? Why does it feel like I'm just kind of in a funk and it seems dark? I would ask you the question, is it possible that you've been running from emotions and you haven't named or labeled them and you haven't talked about them with anybody and you've just buried them because they are there? But until you deal with them, you're probably going to do what David did, running into the arms of the enemy. And so David does that. He runs. The king was King Achish, and it's the enemy of Israel. So David, who's about to be king and to be the one who leads God's children, the Israelites, he runs to the enemy and is on the literally with the people who are trying to kill his own people. I mean, how messed up is that? But when you're not dealing with your emotions, you do things that don't make sense. Every one of us could give testimony to that. I guarantee it. You can look at your own life, you can look at your family, your friends' lives, and you can just say, I know exactly why they are doing that, because they're not dealing with it. And so while I don't want to point fingers at others, I'd like to encourage you to kind of put the other three fingers pointing back at you and say, but what are the emotions I have to deal with? I wish David had done it, but I'm glad the Bible is very clear showing the messiness of humanity. And David was very messy in this season of humanity. And so listen to what happens. So he runs into the arms of King Achish. And then by verse 12, we're still in 1 Samuel 27, King Achish, the enemy, trusted David. And he said to himself, he has made himself, David, utterly abhorrent to his people Israel. Therefore, David shall always be a servant to me. And listen to this. I will make him my servant for life. The enemy now is saying, I own you. Because David, you're not dealing with the feelings that you have inside of you. I now own you because you're so filled with fear and anxiety. You're in my clutches right now. Now, it's easy for us to look at that and say, David, what were you thinking? But every one of us do the exact same thing. I can just give you some tangible examples. In the church, we have comfort food. Instead of dealing with those emotions, it's a whole lot easier to, and I was telling Kurt and Sally last night at dinner, I run to Hot Fudge Sundays. When I've had a bad day and it just is like, oh, I'm so grumpy at some of those meetings and some of the tension that people are describing, I just want to run to Hot Fudge Sundays. Like, ah, I feel so happy now, you know, but I'm not dealing with the real emotions I'm having. Some people run to alcohol. Some people run to shopping. I mean, you know, it's a whole lot easier to go shop till you drop than to actually drop with the emotions you're actually feeling. I've seen people run to a variety of things because you start to feel this. Some people run to workaholism or to lust or some kind of drug. I mean, the list goes on and on and on to the different enemies that we run to. I'll give you a great example. One of my earliest funerals many, many years ago, there was a guy who died from cirrhosis of the liver. His liver just gave out because he drank himself literally to death, and he was only in his mid-40s. His buddies, I will never forget it, at the graveside. Two guys right after the graveside, I get done with the words, everybody's crying, lots of emotion. And this guy says, I need a stiff drink. I hear him say to his buddy, and they said, let's go. And I could hear, I mean, I didn't know it at the time, but now reflecting on it, I could hear King Achish saying, the alcohol, I own you. You just saw, you just buried your buddy from alcohol, and now you're running still to that same enemy, alcohol, to soothe these feelings of death that you're so scared of. I own you. Can you just hear that? And so I just get that sense of how many times do we not deal with these kinds of things? Well, David spends those 16 months running into the arms of his enemy, not dealing with his emotions, until one day, finally, a year and 4 months into it. That's a long time to not deal with emotions. But before we judge him, I've seen people go decades without dealing with their emotions. Their emotions toward their parents, their emotions toward somebody that hurt them years ago, their emotions towards some failure that they had, and now they've labeled themselves as a failure, and all you needed to do was deal with that emotion, and you'd be able to be set free. But for years, you've run away. So for a year and 4 months, David has run away until one day, finally, he breaks. And here's how he broke. They ran off, and they were doing some fighting against one of their enemies. They come back with the men that David was leading, and as they come back into Ziklag, where was their home, they find that one of their other enemies had taken all their women and children away. And listen to how it plays out. This is three chapters later in 1 Samuel 30. David and his men raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David and their men finally, after 1 year and 4 months, they finally broke and they realized, I can't do this anymore. And they let out so much weeping that they literally probably passed out from the exhaustion. They had no more strength to weep. I mean, that is serious weeping, which is interesting because these guys are warriors. And warriors, you would think if I came home and my wife and children were gone, I wouldn't weep. I would run after those people and get my wife and children back. But David was so exhausted from running from his emotions that he couldn't do it anymore. And he just fell and he wept and he wept and he wept. Now his men rise up, and this is where here's proof that David starts to deal with his garbage to finally become a worthy king, to finally become one who says, I am worthy of being a man after God's own heart. It says that David's men got angry. After they wept, they get up and they go, David did this to us. Listen to how it words in verse 6. This is still 1 Samuel 30 now. David was in great danger, for the people spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter in spirit for their sons and daughters. And so everybody starts to come after him. Now, David, remember, 16 months ago had somebody try to kill him and he ran away. This time, David has people trying to kill him, but he finally realizes, I have to deal with this emotion. So look at what it says, the very next verse. I'm sorry, it's the same verse, 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. I am convinced the first time David had fear, he ran. This time, David had fear, and it says, these men are going to kill me. But I'm going to turn to God, and I'm going to look to God in my emotions, in my fear. I'm not going to keep running away because all that's done is caused more chaos, and my life has spiraled out of control. I need the Lord's help. And so he called out on the Lord. And here's what's awesome. Many years later, David finally writes another psalm. During the 16-month period, he was silent. He didn't go to God, but he finally does. And look at what he says. It says in Psalm 62, trust in the Lord at all times. Pour out your emotions, your heart, to him. For God is our refuge. Jesus, years later, said the same thing about our emotions. Do you know that there's two different words for the word soul, which deal with the parts of your emotion as well? There's zoe, which is eternal life, and psuche, which is where we get the word psychology. Jesus uses the word psuche, your psychology, in this verse, one that you're very familiar with. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your emotions. That's powerful. Jesus himself said, David, the one who's in the bloodline that leads to Jesus, Jesus, the son of David, follows in his bloodline, says, you can rest in me with your emotions. You can come to me. For you are weary of heart and everything seems disorienting. And maybe you have tension in your family. Maybe you have hurt from some job that you're in and you just feel like, I can't take the stress anymore. Instead of running to some King Achish false refuge, I want to challenge you to just take your burdens to God. Maybe it's something with a grandchild or with a child. And Lord knows I need to go to the Lord with the emotions I have with raising kids in this culture. We even homeschool, and our kids are still jacked up. Somehow the world has gotten into our home and continues to get our kids. And I'm like, where did you get that thinking? Where did that logic come from? We've tried to shelter you. I can't protect them. The world is relentless, and I want to run away. And so we came here. That's why we're here for 3 days, because it's hard. But you know what? We're taking it to the Lord, and we keep releasing them, saying, God, this is, we hand our children over to you. I don't know if you have some maybe jealousy issues or anger issues or what emotions, but here's what I know for a fact tonight. Every one of us has a variety of emotions. Hopefully, a lot of them are good. But I know there's some things right now in your heart that if you were honest and we had some private time, you would just admit, that hurts. And I don't know what to do with it, and I've been burying it for years. I just want to challenge you to come to the Savior of the world who says, come to me and give me your burdens, for I will give you rest for those emotions. Our God came to be just like us. Jesus came in the flesh to fully experience the full range of our human emotions. We have a God who fully understands the complexities that we feel in this day and age. And so I pray that you will have the courage to keep giving him you, all of you, not only your soul, but your deepest, deepest emotions, not only your physical body, but the thoughts and ideas that start to stir in your heart, so that you too can be, in many ways, like King David, a man or a woman after God's own heart and God's own emotion. Because we serve a God who is filled with beautiful emotion. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for the incredible gift of David's story. I thank you that we are able to realize that we live in a world that is filled with complexities. But I thank you for a place like Epworth where we have a time like tonight to be able to just to chew on some thoughts and ideas and to wrestle with the deeper emotions of our hearts. And so I pray for the many chambers of our hearts that maybe have been locked out, and maybe many of us have just looked at you as Savior but haven't truly surrendered to you as Lord. If there's anyone just wrestling with just maybe the things they've hidden or buried deep within them, I pray that you will fully tonight become the Lord of their life so that they will be able to give you all of themselves, including the buried emotions within. And so I thank you for the beauty of this place, the beauty of tonight, that we can realize that you can make us beautiful within in all ways. Thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you for the gift of your Spirit that we are able to live in this complex human condition. I lift this up to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for the gift and privilege of being able to share some words with you tonight, and I'll be back with you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. We'll have a chance to share. One of my biggest heart's cries, I guess my biggest happy emotion, is that God has given me a platform to coach and train other churches on how to transform and to think generationally to be able to reach. You realize we try to reach 5 different generations today, and every generation is completely different from the next. And so it's a very unique time to do ministry. In fact, Christine and I were just recently in China, and we had a pastor who prayed a blessing over us, and he said, "May you live in interesting days." I don't believe that was a blessing. I believe he cursed us on that day. And so I love to think and strategize, and I'm not very gifted in many areas of my life, but there's one area I know I'm gifted, and that is to be able to analyze a system and to help change and transform it to make it healthy. I'm a macro thinker. I like to think big picture, and I've been doing that with a church, and I've been doing that really nationally. It's weird how God, it's like I released it to him, and he's opened up doors that are beyond me now. And so I would love to share more with you tomorrow. I've got a kind of cool way to share it that will open up your eyes to some new ways of looking at the church. And so I would love to see you at 10 o'clock tomorrow. If I don't see you, God bless you. And I hope to see you in the future here. If we get invited back to Epworth, we would love that. Our kids need us to get away from time to time. So anyway, thank you. And God bless you. May you go in his peace and his beautiful emotion over you tonight. God bless you. Amen.